Thank you. Thank you for the wonderful testimonies. Thank you for the things you have done, the things you are doing, the things you will yet do. We give all the praise to you in Jesus' name. Very quickly, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. How many people think that these times that we live in are tough times? You believe so? You know, somebody posted a picture. I think it was Daily Sketch. How many people know Daily Sketch? Daily Sketch newspaper. So if you know Daily Sketch, we know how old you are. You know. So we had Daily Sketch, and they had front page. They said, tough times have come. Petrol now to cost 20 naira per liter. So I looked at it, I laughed. I said, so tough times have always been coming, if you know what I mean. So at that time, 20 naira per liter, they say, yeah, well, I don't enter town. Nobody's foresaw that it could be 600 naira. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So tough times coming is nothing new. That's what I'm trying to say to you this morning. And I want to encourage you, if you want to give me a title, I'll be very brief, it's a 15-minute talk. I'll say, when the going gets tough. You know, that's actually from a book by Napoleon Hill. It says, when the going gets tough. He called his book something else. Is it Think and Grow Rich? Think and Grow Rich. But there's a saying, when the going gets tough, the tough gets going. That means the tough take action. So it's not the tough times that are unique. It's about what you do. Are you with me? Tough times are not unique to us. They're not unique to now. In fact, you know, from the book of beginnings in Genesis, we found in Genesis chapter 26, the Bible says there was a famine in the land. And then he said, you know, he said something else. He said, not the famine in the time of Abraham, meaning there was another one at that time also, even preceding that one. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So there was a famine in the land. He said, but not the one for Abraham. Abraham had his own. This was now Isaac's time. And he said, and Isaac sowed in the land. And yet he got 100-fold that same year. But the real thing I'm laying the foundation for is that tough times are not unique. You know, we'll always find those tough times. Times when you think things are very difficult and all of that. But you can and you will survive them if you do the right things. Can I have an amen? You know, when they got to the war front and the Israelites were faced with the Philistines, and they had a very tall guy, about 9 feet plus tall, by the name of Goliath, facing the Israelites. And he said, bring me your best man and let's fight. And everybody was running away, including King Saul. You know, when they were going to pick King Saul towered above everybody else. So he was the tallest among them. But when he saw Goliath, even Saul went to hide somewhere. He wasn't ready to face Goliath. And everybody was thinking, this guy is too big to fight. And David was thinking, this guy is too big to miss. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So that's why when they were offering him everything, he said, I've not tried all these weapons. He said, but if I take this stone and this catapult that I've been using since, he's too big to miss. If I throw it, it will hit him for sure. This guy is very big. I will hit him. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So it's not the tough times. It's not what you go through. It's what you do. I always like to think about those two guys who were on the cross with Jesus. The Bible says there was one on the right and there was one on the left. So they were going through the same thing, isn't it? Both of them had been caught. Both were robbers. Both of them had been sentenced to death. Both of them were hanging on the same day. Both of them were hanging in the same place. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And Jesus was in the middle of them. And one of them was very bitter. And was complaining. He said, if you are indeed the Christ, why don't you just get down from this cross? Save yourself and us. How can we be here with you and we will die just like that? And you're watching. The other one saw an opportunity and said, here I am sentenced to death, but thank God Jesus is here with us. He said, when you get to your kingdom, remember me. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Facing the same things, but two different outcomes. Or both of them. So it's not what you are facing. What you are facing is not unique. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 says, no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. He said, but God is faithful, Who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. The New Living Translation says, the temptations in your life are no different from what others experience. The temptations or the trials in your life are no different from what others experience, and God is faithful. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. When you are tempted, it will show you a way out so that you can endure it. Are you with me? I want to say four things to you very quickly. They are not things you probably haven't heard before, but they are things we need to hear again and again and again. But when tough times come, the tough people get going. They take action. The four things you need to do. Number one, don't lose sight of what God has said. Don't lose sight of what God has said. What he has said to you, don't lose sight of it. There are many scriptures that I won't be reading. Deuteronomy chapter 11, from 18, verse 18 to 21. God was telling the Israelites, he said, look, you take my word. He said, write it down everywhere in your house. Write it everywhere. Write it on your fridge. Write it on your door. Write it everywhere you can paste a post-it note. He said, write it and put it everywhere. He said, and talk about it all of the time. He said, talk about it when you stand up. Talk about it when you sit down. Teach your children about it. Talk about it all of the time. He said, so that your days may be multiplied in that good land, and your days will be like the days of heaven on earth. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He was saying, if you will put that word in front of you and don't lose sight of it. This is not just about reading one verse a day. This is not just about reading one chapter a day. This is about filling yourself with it all of the time. He said, put it all around you and talk about it all of the time. Don't lose sight of what God has said. That's the same thing he told Joshua. In Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. And he said, this book of the law shall not depart from your eyes, but you shall meditate therein day and night. The word meditate means to mutter under your breath. It's not just to think about it, but it's also to speak it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He said, you will meditate upon it. Don't let it go away from the front of your eyes. He said, and speak it to yourself. Because to mutter it means you are talking to yourself. He said, talk to yourself from the word day and night. And guess what? He said, you will make your way, not God. He said, that way you will make your way prosperous and you will have good success. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I'll share two scriptures with you in the past few months that have really helped me. Now, don't share them with anybody. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It's because I love you that I'm sharing with you. Okay? So that people don't use it too much. You know, when you use too much of something, it might finish. So, I'm only sharing with you. Hallelujah. Those online, with you. After that, no more. Are you still with me, anybody? Please look at your neighbor. Say, these scriptures are for set man. Say, I can use more. Psalm 138. And when I say those are scriptures that have helped me, they are scriptures I've known. But they are scriptures I've gone back to again and again and again and again in the past several months, and sometimes several times a day, I've gone back to them. I'll read them. I will speak them. I will confess them. I will remember a challenge I have. I will open them again. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That's how it works. When the times are tough, you must make war with the word. If you read Ephesians 6, and it says, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, verse 10, then he begins to list all of the armor, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand in the evil day. Then he lists all of the armor. Everything it has there is defensive. He talks about a helmet. He talks about a shield. He talks about all of those things. And the only offensive weapon that you have, he called it the sword, which is the word of God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The only offensive weapon with which you will drive the devil out of your life is this word. That's the word of God. Psalm 138. You found it yet? Look at verse 8. It said, the Lord will perfect that which concerns me. Your mercy, O Lord, endures forever. Now, I like that because
When he says the Lord will perfect that which concerns me, then he says your mercy endures forever, meaning that God will do it because of his mercy. He will do it, is for sure. It means that the reason why he will complete that which he will perfect. The word perfect means to complete. The reason why everything concerning me will be completed, will be brought to completion, is because of his mercy. Thank God it's because of his mercy. Because if it was all dependent upon me getting every single thing right, I just might not get there. But it's dependent on his mercy, which the Bible says are new every morning. Hallelujah. Again, I'll read you the New Living Translation. New Living Translation, Psalm 138, verse 8. It says, the Lord will work out his plans for my life. The Lord will work out his plans for my life. For your faithful love, O God, endures forever. He is working out his plans for my life. I don't care what you see. I don't even care what I see. What I know is that God is working out his plans for my life. He will get me where I need to be. He will make me what I need to be. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I will have what I need to have. Can I have an amen? Amen. Because God is working out his plans for my life. Don't forget, these scriptures are for me. Don't forget. Okay? Go to the next chapter, Psalm 139. Verse 5. He said, you have edged me behind and before, and laid your hand upon me. Oh, verse 6, he says, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I can't attain it. It's difficult to understand. You have edged me behind and before, and laid your hand upon me. He said, that knowledge is too wonderful. Very difficult to understand. And some are still wondering, what is he talking about? What is this thing that he's saying? I'll read it to you again in the New Living Translation. He said, you go before me and follow me. You place your hand of blessing on my head. You go before me and you follow me. So I'm looking and I'm thinking, he has gone before me and he's following me. And he has laid his hand of blessing on. It means there's no way I can't be blessed. There's no way I can't miss it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because he has gone into my future to fix it. And he's now coming behind me, pushing me forward. Can I have an amen? So number one, don't lose sight of what God has said. You need to go back to some of those promises that speak to you. And you need to go back sometimes, many times a day, in order to kick doubt out of your life. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Number two, pray. Pray. Or we say, pray, oh. Eh? Pray, oh. One day I was talking to my friends in Kenya. And they were laughing at me. I was saying something, and they said, Chineke, eh oh, pray oh. I said, oh, then I realized that it's true. That's the way we talk. We always say, oh, oh. Are you hearing me? Look at your neighbor, say, pray oh. Listen, you see, when times are tough is when we don't want to pray. And that's when we need to pray. Are you hearing me? And praying is not just praying to ask God for something. You need to pray so that you even have the strength to endure. You know, when he talks about in Hebrews 11, he said, faith is the substance of things hoped for. You need hope first. Many people lose hope because we are not spending time in God's presence. We're not praying. That prayer is not just about God, give me this, give me that. Just being with him and praying and praying and praying gives you the strength to go through things. Are you hearing me? James chapter 5. There are some verses there that we like a lot and we quote them a lot. But it actually starts differently. James chapter 5. James the 5th chapter and verse 13. You know, it says, is anyone among you suffering? Let him do what? Pray. And I hear he say, let him pray. You know, then of course it goes on. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church. Well, you know what we do? When we're sick, we call for the elders of the church. When we are cheerful, we sing. But when we are suffering, we ask people to pray for us. Are you still with me? But he says, is anyone suffering? Let him pray. Let him or her pray for himself or herself. You want to know one secret? Most of the people you ask to pray for, you don't do it. Are you hearing me? They have not finished praying their own prayer. Many of them have forgotten. Then they say, I hope you are praying for me. He say, yeah, God bless you. They are not praying for you. Are you hearing me? Pray for yourself. Why? The effective fervent prayer of a righteous man, which you are, avails much. Pray for yourself. Your prayer gets answers. Your prayers move God. The Bible says that the prayer of the righteous is the delight of God. He likes to hear you pray. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 18 and verse 1. The Bible says that he told them a parable. What was the sequel to of the parable? Why was he telling them the parable? He said that men ought always to pray and not to faint. One says that men ought always to pray and not to lose heart. That they always ought to pray and not to give up. Are you hearing me? The reason why we are giving up. Remember Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 10? He said, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. So it is not the adversity that's the problem. It is you and the strength that you have. But thank God I can build strength. Are you hearing me? Thank God I can build that strength. I can build it by praying. I can spend time with God. Isaiah chapter 40 from verse 28 to verse 31. He said that, look, even the young men will faint. Even the young men. So no matter the strength they think they depend on, he said it will fail and they will faint. But he concludes this, he said, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And then they will do what? Mount up with wings as eagles. Meaning that, renew your strength means that they exchange their strength with God's strength. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So you are getting tired, but when you pray, in the place of prayer, you will exchange that weakness for God's strength. But not only so, he said, then they will now mount up. They will now go even higher than before. Are you hearing me? They will mount up with wings as eagles. I don't have enough time to teach this morning. But did you know what is special about the eagle? Is that the eagle flies very high, but not by his own strength. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The eagle's ability, it flies very high and it flies long distances, but what the eagle does differently from most other birds, it doesn't use his own strength to do it. The eagle looks at the direction of the wind, and he looks for the best wind, the forceful wind, and he just spreads out its wings, and the wind will carry the eagle. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So God is saying, when you spend time in the place of prayer, all that tiredness, all that giving up will disappear. But not only so, you will start flying. At heights that you couldn't imagine, and you will realize that it's not your effort that's making it happen. Can I have an amen? Amen. Number 3. You know, so one of the things, before I leave that, one of the things I found out is that when people are going through things, you know, difficult things, difficult times, one of the first things that they want to do is that they want to stop praying. Say, how are you doing? This thing that is happening to you, how are you doing? Say, things are so hard. I can't even pray. When I wake up, I don't even feel like praying. That's the devil's trick at work. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because he knows if I can take that off you, I will get you to the place of complete weakness and knock you out. But as long as I can't get you tired on the inside, nothing I do on the outside will work. That's what the devil knows. So one of the first things you feel like is, I don't feel like praying. And then you do that one day, 2 days, 3 days, 4 days. You are being led like the lamb to the slaughter. Are you still there? Somebody say, what do I do? Make yourself pray. Get up and do it. Hallelujah. Have you ever woken up before and you didn't feel like having a bath? Thank God, only one honest person in church this morning. Yes. You just felt lazy. You just felt like, I just want to lie like this. At that time, go and shower. Blah, blah, blah. You didn't feel like any of that. But did you do it? Are you with me? You did it. Have you ever woken up before and you felt like rushing out? You didn't want to brush your teeth.
But you went back, you did it. You didn't want people to be turning when you are greeting them. Eh? So sometimes we make ourselves do what we know is necessary. Prayer is necessary. Can I have an amen? Number three, hang around people who will encourage you. Hang around people that will encourage you. If you are tired, you feel the pressure. The worst thing, one of the worst things in the world you can do is to isolate yourself. You know, people then say, I'm not going to church. Not going to church. Yeah, you are putting yourself in trouble. Because you need to be there. Are you hearing what I'm saying? When the Bible says that you need to go, why? So that we can provoke one another to love and to good works. The word provoke means make you to do something that you otherwise would not have done. Are you hearing me? So somebody slapped and beat one boy. And then they said, why did you do it? He said, it provoked me. What did he mean? He meant I would not have beaten him like that. But he made me do it. So the Bible says, do not forsake. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25. Do not forsake the gathering of yourself. And do it much more as you see the day approaching. He said, why? Because you will provoke one another. You will make yourselves do the things that you might otherwise not have done that are good. Hallelujah. You know, in Acts chapter 4, they had arrested the disciples. They had arrested them for healing the man by the beautiful gate. And they took them to prison. Then they whipped them when they were going to release them. Nobody enjoys an adult man is whipped. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Nobody enjoys that. So the Bible says being let go. In Acts chapter 4, I think about verse 23 or is it verse 13? It said being let go, they went to their own company. So when they released them, they went to their own people. Are you with me? They went to their own people and they reported everything that was done. And they all began to pray together. And the Bible says they were filled with the Holy Ghost and the place where they was shaking. And then they were emboldened again. Where is your own company? Are you with me? Who is in your own company? Who are the people that you sit with and you share with and you talk with the most? If they're always telling you how things are hard, how things will become tougher, how you will not survive, then you're in trouble. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But you have to have a company. The people that will tell you, yes, things are hard, but our God is harder. Hallelujah. People that will tell you that there is always an opportunity. People that will tell you that no matter how tough it is, you know, and people that will just share testimonies with you. God just did this for me. And in hearing that God did that for them, you know that God is in your neighborhood. Hallelujah. And lastly, be consistent. Be what? Be consistent. Hebrews chapter 6. You know, if you read the book of Proverbs, the Bible says that the lazy man will not sow. Why? He says there's a lion in the street. He finds the reason not to. He's not consistent. In Ecclesiastes, he says what? In the morning, sow your seed. In the evening, withhold not your hand. What's he talking about? Consistency. You must be consistent with the things of God. Be consistent with the principles that you live by. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Do the things that you know are right and do them regularly and consistently, irrespective of what is going on around you. I think it was that to the Philippians that Paul was writing. He said, hold fast the traditions that we have handed over to you. So there are certain traditions that are good, even scriptural. Hallelujah. You need to have certain scriptural traditions that this is how I do things. And you need to be consistent with them. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 12. It says, let's read from verse 11. It says, we desire that each of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end. That you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and what? Patience inherit the promises. The word patience means consistency. Those who through faith
and consistency. Listen, the people that you see who inherit the promises, they don't do so just by faith alone. Faith is not enough. They do it by faith and consistency. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Meaning they believe what God has said, they do what God has said, and they keep doing it every day, keep doing it every day, keep doing it every day, keep doing it every day. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Now, the person who tells you that, that tithe is a lie, it doesn't work. That offering is a lie, I gave, and nothing came back to me. Listen, they are usually inconsistent people. Are you hearing me? Those who are consistent, who have tithed for 30 years, they will tell you it's working for me. You know, interestingly, when that funny guy started trouble all over the place, one of the people that responded, I found it very interesting. If I remember correctly, was Kanu Wankwo. And Kanu said, me, I've been tithing, and it's working for me. I will continue to do it. You hear what I'm saying? The people who are consistent, who have been doing certain things, will tell you it's working for them. They will tell you, I see the hand of God. I see where God has showed up for me because I've been doing these things all the while. And it's going to church. Those who have been doing it consistently will tell you, I can't do without it. It's why I am who I am. Hey, you are praying too much. The person who has been praying consistently, waking up every morning and praying like that, will tell you, it's like the air that I breathe. The person who will tell you that it doesn't work, everything doesn't work, is one that has not really done it. He did it once, twice. He tried it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I tried that faith thing that Seth Man is talking about, and it didn't work. No. The word of God tried you, and you didn't work. Are you still with me? And you will not work except you are committed and you are consistent with the things of God. When Hebrews chapter 6, let's look at Hebrews 10 very quickly. I'm going to stop soon in 2 minutes. Hebrews chapter 10. And I hear it say consistency. So everything you know to do that is right from God's word, do them consistently. Oh, I do evangelism. Do it consistently. Oh, it's giving. Oh, do it consistently. Don't do it when you feel like, and when you don't feel like, you don't do it. Don't do it when it's convenient, and when it's not convenient. No. Just make up your mind. This is God's word about this matter. I will do it. And then make yourself do it all of the time, and you'll find out that after a while, it's a lifestyle. And it works for you. Are you hearing me? Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35. He said, therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. He said, for you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. You have need of what? Endurance. Even after you have done the will of God. So doing the will of God is not enough. You will need endurance to stay there if you will get the reward. In the book of James, he said that we thank God we saw the patience or the consistency of Job. He said, otherwise we would not know the end of that matter. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He said, thank God for the patience or the consistency of Job. He said, otherwise we would not have seen the end that God intended. So everything would have ended with Job lost everything and became sick. And that's all we will know about Job. And we'll say, oh my show. Are you hearing me? He said, but it was the consistency of Job that allowed us to reach Job chapter 42, where he said that the end of Job was greater than his beginning. And he had twice what he had before. We saw chapter 42 because Job was consistent. Are you with me? I'll close on this note. I think Napoleon Hill, that's where that came in my head, in that his book, wrote about a guy who dug and was 3 feet away from gold. So in those days, they had a gold rush in America. And people would go and dig and mine looking for gold. They want to hit gold. And this guy went, left the place where he was, moved to this area where he believed there was gold, and he was digging and digging. And he hit some gold. And he quickly covered the thing back, went back to his place, raised money from his people, that, look, I need money. I've hit gold and all of that, but I need equipment. So they gave him money. And he went there and he dug and he got gold and he sent back. He was making some money. I mean, he was beginning to make money. And after a while, everything just blanked out. There was no more gold. And the guy stopped. And he sold all the equipment to some guy, just sold it to him for a few $100. So he take it, nothing anymore. Nothing's working here anymore. And the guy he sold it to went and called an expert to come and look at the area. And the expert looked at it and said they had a fault line. I don't know what geologists call it. I mean, engineer, you understand them. He said there was a fault line. It's almost like when you are digging a well. You know, when you dig a well, you first hit some water. And that's not the real water. So that's why they will tell you, is it well you want or borehole? So you first hit some water. After a while, you hit rock again. If you go beneath it, the real water is waiting. So this guy hit the point and he felt, there is nothing anymore. So he sold it off for scrap and went away, disappointed. And then when they brought the expert said, there's gold there. It's just 3 feet away. And the guy that bought the equipment for nothing dug it and got a lot of gold out of that place. So this other guy that sold it, he had given up. He went into insurance. He started selling insurance. But he made a huge success of insurance because he kept reminding himself, I was only 3 feet away from gold the last time. So whenever he was selling insurance, he would say that one man says no, doesn't mean that I won't sell insurance. So when he sells it, will you buy life insurance? I say no. He said, no, I'm not giving up because I gave up 3 feet from gold. And he became a multimillionaire because he kept reminding himself, I gave up 3 feet from gold. Are you with me? Look at your neighbor. Say, don't give up. You're only 3 feet away from gold. Let's stand on our feet. So what have we said today? Four things. What are the four things? Number one, don't lose sight of God's word. Number two, pray. Number three, go hang around people that will encourage your faith. And number four, be consistent. Take a while and just talk to God this morning as I bring the communion. Talk to God this morning and tell him that this is you. You are going to be consistent. I don't know what he's saying to you specifically. It speaks to us as a group, but it speaks to us specifically to as individuals. So what particularly jumped at you? What particularly hit you the most? You need to talk to God and say, God, I heard you. And this is the decision I'm making. This is how I'm going to live. This is what I'm going to do. Maybe there are things you stop doing and you tell God, God, I'm going to start doing them again. Maybe you even give up on a business idea. Maybe you give up on this or that and you tell God, God, I'm sorry. I gave up on that thing, but I'm going back to it. Because I believe that you wanted me to do that. I'm not going to give up. And are you here also this morning? You need to make peace with God, or maybe you are online watching. You need to make peace with God. Hey, you need God in these times that we're in. And we will need God more and more. That's why we sang the song, I Want More of You. We'll need it more and more and more as the day approaches. Why? Because the scriptures make it clear that difficult times will come. Difficult. And there's no way. It'll be really tough if you don't have God. But the Bible says that if God be for you, who can be against you? So one with God is a majority. One with God guarantees victory. So if you need to make peace with God, you've never been born again, or you have been, but you backslid, as we call it, meaning you just drew away from God. Where you stand with God now, you do not know. But you want to be sure of that stance with God. Then put your right hand on your chest where you are, even if you're at home, in a car, wherever. Put your hand on your chest. I said, I want to be sure of my walk with God. I want to be sure that if I were to die today, I will make heaven my home. I want you to talk to him and say, Lord Jesus, here I am this morning. I accept you and your sacrifice on the cross. You died for my sins. You rose so that I can have peace with God. This morning I acknowledge it.
I believe it. I confess it. And I confess you as my Savior. And from today, I confess you as my Lord. I will do my very best to live for you and live according to your instructions. Amen. The Lord says that everyone that calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Not might, shall. So when you do that, you are saved. You sense the joy. You are saved. Father, thank you for everyone who prayed that prayer. Thank you for drawing them. And thank you for keeping them. Thank you because they will walk the straight and narrow. Thank you because they will endure till the end. Thank you because they are saved and you will keep them and preserve them and present them whole on that day, spirit, soul, and body. In the name of Jesus, they will move forward in you. They will grow in their knowledge and their walk with you. In the name of Jesus. And Father, thank you this morning. We remember the sacrifice on the cross that guarantees us victory. Thank you. Because when you died with you. When you rose, we rose with you. And the Bible declares that now we are seated in Christ Jesus at the right hand of God, far above principalities and powers, and far above everything that may want to come against us. So this month, by virtue of sacrifice on the cross, we declare victory. Victory. All round victory. Health for those that need it. Favor for those that need it. Direction for those that need it. In the name of Jesus. Thank you because you will do that which only you can do. And you will do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever ask for or even imagine. We give you thanks ahead because we believe it's done. In Jesus' name.